Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insights segment. I'm Harold Fisher. They were the first casualties as the coronavirus showed up in the U.S. Today, senior citizens are still very much at risk because of isolation exacerbated by the pandemic. And tonight, we look at what that means for seniors and what family, friends, and organizations can do to make sure they are emotionally and physically safe. My guests are Lisa Marsh Ryerson, president of the AARP Foundation, and Dr. Heather Stowe, clinical director of the D.C. Department of Aging and Community Living. If you have a comment, if you have a question about making sure the senior citizens in your life are safe and healthy and in good spirits during this pandemic, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Stowe, Ms. Ryerson, thank you both for joining this conversation.
What a treat to be with you.
Thank you so much. Let me start with you, Ms. Ryerson. You know, our seniors, you know, we love them to death, and they want to be independent, and they,
right,
you know, even before this pandemic was an issue, but now they are even more at risk. From your perspective, what are you hearing about some of the issues related to seniors and the pandemic?
Yeah, Harold, first let me say thank you again. It's such a treat to be on your wonderful show and to be here with Dr. Stowe, who is doing such an important work for older adults as well in the DMV area. You know, Harold, social isolation was already on the rise before we even heard the word COVID-19. And pre the pandemic, about one quarter of older adults were already suffering from isolation. And you can be isolated or lonely across the life course, but it really is a growing risk as we age because of we face other predisposing factors, right? We might be living alone, we've lost family members or friends, or have chronic illness or sensory impairments. But it's like a double whammy, I say, and we're hearing this from older adults, because they may have been isolated, or now they are absolutely following important directions about physical distancing, but they are also at greater risk of negative outcomes from the coronavirus. So this is a difficult time for a growing number of older adults. And we also understand about all of the health inequities or disparities that are coming to the fore again during this pandemic. And those are also true, Harold, for social isolation. For example, we know that older adults who are low income or are unpaid caregivers or identify as members of the LGBTQ community are at greater risk for isolation. So when you think about all of those factors, it really is incumbent upon us to work together to be sure that we're being the best possible neighbors, that we are not allowing important physical distancing to become social disconnection and long-term social isolation, which has the health impact or equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Stowe, I don't want to scare anybody. And when I say scare anybody, I'm talking about the younger people who are, you know, who are concerned about the health and welfare of the seniors in their lives. But with that said, this is very serious business. This goes beyond the I've fallen and I can't get up kind of scenario, because now the reality is that those of us who have older parents and the like must really be laser focused on the health and welfare of the seniors in our lives.
Yes. Thank you for having me on tonight, Mr.
Absolutely.
Fisher. Yes, you're quite right. And we have to be concerned about our own family, and we also have to be concerned about the larger community. We're incredibly fortunate in Washington, D.C., that Mayor Muriel Bowser has always been very concerned about seniors in the city. And during this pandemic, she has challenged all of us to ensure that we're continuing to adapt our programs to stay connected, and particularly for our most vulnerable populations, which would be our seniors who are at risk of isolation. At the Department of Aging and Community Living, we are absolutely doing all that we can to make sure that we help people stay connected. And we have, with the assistance of our community-based partners, worked to transition all the programs that normally would be on site to phone calls, Zoom meetings, texts, programs that everybody can continue to take part in. So we're really doing all that we can to try and ensure that folks remain connected in some way. But as you indicated, it is a time for concern for seniors. We're also particularly concerned about seniors who may be at risk of abuse and neglect. The Department of Aging and Community Living also provides the Adult Protective Services in Washington, D.C. And so, you know, normally in regular times, we get a lot of calls at the APS hotline from other professionals, social workers, medical professionals, et cetera, and from the community. But right now, during this time, I would ask all of our WHUR listeners and our WHUR community here to be extra vigilant when it comes to protecting our older neighbors and our family members. The Adult Protective Services hotline will accept calls 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so if you have any concerns about anyone, I would urge you to give us a call at 202-541-3950.
One more time with that phone number, please.
202-541-3950.
We are talking about taking care of senior citizens in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. If you have any comments, if you have any questions, if you need resources, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the things, Dr. Stowe, that you mentioned that I think is really important, and it's something that a lot of people just don't think about when you talk about making sure that seniors are connected, specifically as it relates to connected. So even from the simplest things, I have three seniors in my family, for example. I have a mother, I have a father, I have a stepmother. My mother is connected. She's on Facebook. She texts. She has a smartphone. My father and stepmother don't do that.
Yes.
But they do have access to the internet. But then there are others who they have no internet service. They don't have email. They don't have smartphones. They have the flip phones with the big numbers so that they can see.
Yeah.
You know, and I know it's kind of funny. That's true, but it's also the reality is that a great many of them have not moved into the 21st century with technology. How
right.
do we address that?
I think that's a great point. So, for those folks who are connected, clearly they can, you know, they can go on the website, they can go on the websites of their senior wellness centers that they used to attend, and they can join in activities by Zoom, etc. But all of these folks are still able to call into the wellness center and participate in some of the activities that way. And one of the things that the ACL did is that we launched our call and talk line, which provides a friendly voice and conversation to seniors in need of a connection. And anybody who's interested in calling up and just talking to us or having us call them back on a regular basis can call our general hotline number. I'm going to give you another number.
Sure, so, go ahead. And by the way, all of these numbers that you're sharing with us will be on our website on WHUR.com after 9 o'clock. And so even if the seniors in your lives are not connected, you as a younger person can share some of these resources with them. But please go right ahead, Dr. Stowe.
The number is 202-724-5626.
And that number again is for?
That's a general number for the Department of Aging and Community Living. If you don't remember any of the other numbers or information that I give out tonight, if you remember that number, and as you say, it will be on your website. If you call there, one of our staff, and we're the hotline The call center operates Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30. You can find out about any of the services that DACL operates and just in general services for seniors and individuals with disabilities in the District of Columbia.
We are talking about making sure that our seniors are safe in the midst of the pandemic. If you have a comment or question about that, if you need resources, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ms. Ryerson, what is your biggest concern for vulnerable seniors at this time? Is it the physical? Is it the mental health?
Yeah, you know, Harold, it's the combination because they go so hand in hand. So the impact for social isolation really has these extreme, as you and I and Dr. Stowe have been saying, negative health impacts over time for older adults. And well-being, of course, it's both our physical and our emotional health, and I think that's so important. You know, if, Harold, there is, it's hard to find good news when we have the convergence of so many crises and pandemics in our nation right now. But if there's a bit of light, I think it's that many, many people have felt vulnerable, disconnected, and isolated during this time of physical distancing and loss of jobs or working remote. And so hopefully we can use that sense of our shared vulnerability to be on the lookout for older adults. I'm very worried that older adults will become disconnected from both their really life-giving, the networks of individuals they can count upon, and also those important connections, as Dr. Stowe has been bringing to the fore, of community resources that are so important for older adults. Always, older adults, in particular at AARP Foundation, we're focused on ending senior poverty, Harold. So we know that older adults who are either living in poverty or on, you know, one life event away from slipping into it, can be hidden in our communities. And that worries me a lot. I'm very pleased Dr. Stowe has joined AARP Teletown Halls before. It's a real delight, Heather, to be on the phone with you and Harold tonight because of your call for us to know that, you know, elder abuse and exploitation is a risk, maybe a greater risk right now when older adults don't have the connections that help them thrive. Mm-hmm. But Harold, you brought up, I think, an important point, which is that we're also seeing in this time the real digital divide.
Yes.
So you were talking about, Harold, in your own family. It's both about skills and comfort, right? Knowing how to use various platforms that, you know, we're using them tonight, whether it's the telephone or whether people are Zooming and staying in touch through video chat and FaceTime. And when that works, maybe it's not a full substitute for human connection, but technology is a powerful facilitator of human connection. So for older adults who either don't have reliable access or affordable access to the internet or devices in their home, or who have been unable to take advantage of training sessions to help them use technology, we really have to be on the lookout. And then I think, as Dr. Stowe said, there are low-tech but important ways. Just as we're giving numbers tonight for vulnerable older adults to reach out for help, please remember, everyone who's listening, that it can be very, very hard when you're suffering from social isolation and loneliness to raise your hand and ask for help. So that's when it's that public health call. Let's knock on doors, then keep your physical distance, but check on your neighbors who are older adults and vulnerable. Pick up the phone and call them. Maybe make a pledge to call 5 older adults who are members of your family or in your apartment building or neighborhood each and every day. And I would be curious, Dr. Stowe, what you think, but in my experience, when we volunteer and reach out, it's good for the older adult we're serving, but it's really good for our health as well. It's a bit of preventive connection for all of us when we reach out for older adults. Don't you think, Heather?
I do, and I think that, I mean, one of the things that we should also, be aware of is that there are older adults who are very interested in learning about technology.
That's
I think
right.
In some ways we sort of write people off and go, oh, well, they're older, they won't be able to do it. I've been just amazing, quite surprised at some of the programming and some of the events that some of the senior citizens have arranged in the past couple of months themselves and the ways in which they have taken on the new technology. And one of the things that we're working to do at DACL is that we're developing a pilot program to help the seniors who are most at risk of isolation stay connected by providing, at no cost to them, an iPad and technology support. So again, we're trying to figure out ways to reach those folks who are most at risk and who would not be connected. But I absolutely endorse, Ms. Ryerson, your comment about getting involved and getting the community involved and really looking after our neighbours. I mean, that's really that social connection at a socially safe distance with masks. Washing your hands is absolutely the way that we want to move forward,
All of the CDC and local health department guidelines. But Harold and Heather, I so agree with you. You know, often on my mind is just Fred Rogers' voice, "Won't you be my neighbor?" I mean, that is a call that matters whether you're young or whether you're older in our lives. And it's simple. But really, really relevant. And you also brought up this important point about the stigma. In fact, we've supported a fair amount of research and some recent research with the Financial Health Network looking at older adults and technology. And, you know, older adults are done with anyone having a sense that they can't use technology just because they're older. But we need to build technology tools with the educational pieces in mind as we're developing the applications. And then, as I said, this digital divide is real, and we cannot leave people behind. We have to provide affordable access to internet and to tools. It's critical. When we subtract the talents and the wisdom of anyone in our community, and in particular, vulnerable older adults, they lose, but we all lose.
Yeah. Hold that point. I have so much more that I really want to drill down on, but I need to take a very short break. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about taking care of our seniors in the midst of the pandemic, making sure that they are not isolated. Don't forget, you can hear this in every edition of the Daily Drum Inside segment in its entirety via podcast on WHUR.com. It'll be on after 9 o'clock. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about isolation of senior citizens caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. What does that mean for the seniors, and what family, friends, and organizations can do to make sure they are emotionally and physically safe? My guests are Lisa Marsh Ryerson, president of the AARP Foundation, and Dr. Heather Stowe, clinical director of the D.C. Department of Aging and Community Living. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly find me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. So I want to go back to really kind of focusing on a few things, some very, very specific things. And the difficulty, Dr. Stowe, is that, you know, all of us are feeling a sense of anxiety, trepidation about this pandemic. It has been with us essentially since late January, and we are now in August, and those feelings just aren't, they just aren't going away. And when so many of our seniors have been lost as a result of it, and, you know, there are new guidelines that are coming out, executive orders, you know, and the like, our seniors, particularly those who have been, you know, they're active, they've been going out swimming, they've been going to senior centers, they've been going on walks and the like, and now a lot of them are essentially sheltering in place. What, and you're a social worker, what do you recommend for the younger people? This is not low tech, this is the no tech stuff.
Right.
You know, what
What do you, how do you recommend that the younger people address seniors, the proud seniors, the independent seniors, or like my father, the hard-headed seniors, who, you know, just still want to do stuff on their own?
Yeah, I am a social worker. Thank you for mentioning that. I want to say I'm also a proud bison, that I got both my MSW and my PhD from Howard, and I currently teach, and I would be in trouble if I didn't shout out Dean Sandra Crew and my Haswa colleague, so thank you for that.
Okay.
you know, I think that's a really interesting question, and one of the things that, you know, my mother used to say, the thing that is your blessing can also be your curse.
Yeah.
I do think that sense of independence, hard-headedness, as you just pointed out, Mr. Fisher, mm-hmm. those are the things which, in fact, have allowed many seniors to get to this point in life. These are the things that have carried them through the various toils and troubles that they've had in life. And now those can also be the things that make it complicated for them to accept help or to take help from other people. I would say that really having a conversation with someone, really talking about making sure that everybody has the information that they need about the risks and the dangers of the pandemic. As we mentioned earlier, the CDC information and the wonderful information that Dr. Nesbitt and the Department of Health has put out, and, you know, lovely, colorful graphics. I would be leaving those around the house somewhere for the seniors to take a look at on their own, in their own time, if they were tired of me having that conversation with them. But at the end of the day, if they really want to go out and do something, the question is, how can you help them do that in a way that helps them stay as safe as possible? And how can you, you know, go with them or take them someplace as opposed to letting them get on the bus or go out somewhere and do it themselves? People have to continue to be able to feel that they are living their life in a way that makes them, you know, satisfied, able to do at least some of the things that they're able to do. So maybe they can't go to the senior center and work out, but they can certainly walk around the block and take a look at the roses and talk about people's gardens. And, you know, I mean, I think if we are thoughtful about it, there are ways in which we can help folks come to terms with many of the restrictions that have currently been placed on all of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, Harold, so much with Dr. Stowe, because, you know, it's to be human is to need connection, and connection matters so much, and there's such a power. I love your question about what younger people can do. Intergenerational connections are really, really powerful, and I think, you know, younger people want to be of a help right now, and they need other people to talk with, too. So as has already been mentioned, yes, follow all the rules. The health rules are important. But if a young person is doing errands for their mother or someone else in their life, or has time and could knock on a neighbor's door and see if they're headed to the grocery store, could they pick up groceries, pick up the phone and call a neighbor and really ask how they're doing, and then sit back and listen to the answer and develop those connections. There's bound to be intergenerational learning that will occur. And that's good for everyone in the community.
Let's talk about that, because that was going to be my next issue or point. Listening to what's going on. And this is so critical. And I want both of you to give me your perspectives. But so, and I keep talking about my family because, like I said, those are the seniors in my life. So mm-hmm. pre-COVID, you know, my mother was active in her sorority. She had a little side business going on.
Yeah.
You know, she was very active in church. And I had to make an appointment with her if I needed to talk to her.
Get on her calendar.
Because I couldn't just drop by.
Right.
You know, because it's very likely that she would not be home.
Yes.
She's home all the time now.
Yeah.
And the thing that I'm hearing, because I'll ask her and I speak to her frequently. My sister calls her every day. And I speak to her about every 2 days or so. And she's in Prince George's County.
Yes.
So she's, you know, she's right around the corner. But the thing that I've noticed now, and it's a small thing, but she talks longer now.
Right. Yeah.
You know, in the past, you know, we would do 15 or 20 minutes. That's stretched to 30 or 35. I notice it because I'm just as busy as I always have been, if not more, because of the job that I do and where we are, pandemic, yeah, politics, and the whole bit.
All of it.
And so for those who aren't, who may not be professional listeners as I am, or people who may not be in tuned, you know, first to you, Ms. Ryerson,
yeah,
what do you want the younger people to listen for?
Yes, I think it's so important, whether you're younger or older and are reaching out to your family members who are on their own as older adults or your neighbors. First and foremost, Harold, as you said, and we've been talking about, remember it will take more, give more time to the conversation, and listen about, ask the older adult, how are you doing? And listen to the conversation. Do some check-in. Ask if they've had contact via phone or video chat with others. So we want to know, do they have others in their lives? So social isolation is about not having people you can count on. So ask, you know, with whom have you been talking lately? Ask them about other activities they've been engaged in. If they've been able to get their groceries. All of these social determinants are so intertwined. If you're socially isolated, if you're low income, you might be hungry. You know, we have to ask whole person questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's also, church is a big part of many of our lives, and I think that lots of folks have been missing that. And I know that many churches have also expanded their, you know, sort of like phone tree groups that they have. So as well as calling the people who would normally be in your circle, they're expanding that and saying, hey, could you call so-and-so? So I think there's also ways that folks can feel useful during this process as well.
Yes.
That it's not just about us, you know, not just about me calling my mom or my grandmom to make sure that she's okay and to chat with her. But it's also about, you know, what can they do to call and to talk to other people. I think it's,
yeah,
also an opportunity to begin to say, you know, if your mother has never written down any of her recipes, hey, mom, it would be really great if you could write down that recipe for your macaroni and cheese. You know, I mean, I think there are things that we can think about because there are so many things that when someone is no longer here, we go, oh, I wish I had. Well, in some ways,
yes,
this is an opportunity for us to take that moment and go, well, now's the time. Let's sit down. And if your mom's, like my mother, and says it's just a handful of this or a pinch of that, then sit with her and listen and write that recipe down. Just
I think
that's
such a great idea. We have this tool that we use, Harold and Heather, with older adults who are at risk of isolation or are suffering from isolation, and we train community groups and others who want to volunteer to help walk them through what we call a friend inventory. And it really is an inventory of your friends, because as we get older, you know, sometimes we forget that former classmates, sorority sisters, others with whom we haven't talked in a while, you know, make that list, would want to reconnect with us. And it helps the older adult drive into their own agency, as I think you're suggesting, Dr. Stowe, so that they know there are individuals who they might call. But, you know, your mom, Harold, my goodness, I'd love to talk to her. I wish we could dial her in.
She's probably talking
so
to somebody on the phone.
Let's call her in. But, you know, because I would like her to, you know, volunteer for AARP's Community Connections Program. We have a friendly voicing program where individuals can call in and either let us know that they want to be a volunteer, or they can call in and say they want a friendly phone call, just as is happening right in D.C., and we do this in the district and nationwide. But, you know, your mom has, she has so much purpose in her life. And I think fundamentally what we're saying is that across our life course, we want to find opportunities to recognize and drive into our own purpose, to matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the other difficult thing. Gosh, there's so many. So many of our seniors they're in nursing homes.
Yes.
And they have been really struggling lately.
Oh, it's been a devastating consequence.
It's been horrible, yeah. Not only for those there, but only for family members who, you know, you may have some family members that were stopping by the nursing home every day.
Yes.
And now they can't come in. You know, because of the coronavirus, any suggestions to deal with that? How is, you know, for example, Dr. Stowe, how is the district trying to strategize this kind of conversation in places where the isolation is doubly severe?
Yes. I can't imagine those circumstances where you've been visiting and then all of a sudden there was no visitation whatsoever. I know that that's been heartbreaking for many families. I know that the district's Healthcare Finance Administration has been working with the nursing homes. And, you know, they're all individually owned and operated, and so they have their own way of doing things. But the conversation has been very similar to some of what we've talked about tonight in terms of how can they help people be connected, even if they cannot be physically in the same place. Additional phone calls, the use of technology. You know, some folks have been doing the driving up or, you know, walking up to the windows and at least seeing people or being on the phone while they're, you know, looking at you through the glass. That's just a really hard one, though. I don't think there's any good answers to that problem.
And yeah, I think,
you know, Harold, I'm so glad
you asked it.
And I agree with Dr. Stowe. It's just a really difficult situation. And we're seeing, you know, just the really devastating situations and the number of deaths. And again, how health inequity and disparities are showing up in this space as well. And it's also important to note that whether it's AARP, whether it's Lewis Davis, who's our director in the District of Columbia, or great AARP state directors across the nation, they've been really fighting and working to be sure that nursing home patients and staff, the residents and the staff, have access to the testing and PPE that they need. And most importantly, that nursing homes know that they need to facilitate communication between the resident and between the family member and or caregiver, whether that is by the telephone, whether that is providing a device for a video chat, you know, FaceTime, or some other way to connect. On my mind is, you know, my parents are both gone now, and my mother suffered from dementia, and she was in a long-term care facility at the end of her life, and it's just taking me back. I can't imagine if we were in this period of the virus, what it would have been for her if she didn't have her familiar faces, those she remembered and knew, how disoriented that would be for her.
You know, this brings up a couple of personal points. As you may know, we lost our beloved Patrick Ellis, the host, the longtime host of the Sunday Morning Gospel. And the reason I bring that up, not only, you know, Patrick was 77 years old. You wouldn't have known it, but he was in, that senior citizens category. But Patrick was, for many people, a spiritual lifeline. On Sunday morning.
Oh, that's right.
And his, if I say, you know, his fans, his constituency.
he was a point of connection.
Yeah, exactly.
There's so many.
And so to lose him now, and this is why I bring this up, because the mental health piece, even if they never met Patrick, Patrick was their friend. And the mental health piece is, if this could happen to Patrick, it could happen to me because I'm 77 or I'm 76 or what have you.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Stowe, short of counseling, What can loved ones do to make sure that the mental health of the older adults and their family and their families are as strong as possible?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, we've talked about what you can do and talking with people and visiting, etc. I would say, though, that there's a difference between someone being sad and being, you know, being sad or being angry, even that they're in the home and they can't do some of the things that they would normally do. There's a point where sadness turns into depression or clinical depression. And that's really the point where I would encourage people to seek professional or external help. I know that one of the things I wanted to say was that just to encourage individuals to not stay home and miss regular either mental health or physical health appointments because of
this, right?
Because there are ways of getting out there safely and getting to those appointments, and at DACL, you know, we can help you with transportation if that's an issue. But it's really important for family members or the folks who are in the senior circle who are connected with them to be on the lookout for significant changes in behavior. So not sort of the usual sadness that we all experience when something untoward happens, but sustained sadness, sustained lack of eating, sleeping too long or not sleeping at all. I mean, some of those things which we recognize are more about clinical depression. And then seeking help. There's lots of folks right now are doing telemedicine, both for physical and mental health. So if folks are really not keen of going, you know, going out into the community, there's ways to bring that into the individual's home. But there is a point beyond which family who can be as supportive and as loving and as caring as they possibly can be still need to be able to access additional resources to make sure that the senior is taken care of. Mm-hmm. And again, I believe seniors are incredibly resilient in many ways. And I know that lots of folks are not keen on admitting that they might need help or certainly to see a mental health professional, but there's no weakness in that, and it really it can save lives.
Yeah, I really, Harold, I agree with everything Dr. Stowe is a professional, and I am not a social worker, but I think it's a really important time for all of us to model good self-care and to be helping those who are vulnerable in our life know that it is important, as you're saying, Dr. Stowe, to reach out for help and to know where we can direct individuals to get that help as well. So important for caregivers who are already stressed and at risk of many things and have, as you were saying, Harold and Dr. Stowe, extra burdens right now as they're worried or even increasing their own anxiety and possibly depression over their loved ones. But we just have to change direction in this nation about how we look at mental health.
Yes, very
important. I was going to say, Harold, we have a resource for anyone who's listening. They could head to connect2effect.org. It's connect the number 2 effect with an A .org, and we have a very quick assessment that you can take for yourself or for an older adult who you're caring for or worried about to see how you're doing with social connections in your life. Then you can put in your zip code and be connected to resources right in your own community.
So that's connect the number 2 EFFECT.org.
Connect to AFFECT.org. Connect to effect.org. And just please reach out or be on the lookout. It is, don't we all feel it? I'm uplifted talking to the two of you, which is a reminder to me how much I miss being present and being out there with colleagues, those who are familiar and new colleagues. And imagine how much more extreme that is for individuals who were already struggling or don't have the resources they need to access help.
Absolutely. And this is an issue, obviously, for all age groups, without a doubt, because, you know, we've spoken about the difficulties created because seniors are isolated. But the young people and the youngest people who love them are also impacted if you can't go to see grandma or you can't go and see grandpa. And there's so much information out here about the virus where, you know, and I can't imagine, you know, a smart little kid, 8 years old, who says, I have to stay away from grandma or grandpa because I may become infected and I could impact their health. I can't imagine how debilitating.
Yeah, on your mind.
Yeah, you're no good for grandma and grandpa right now because of where they are, and you don't want to get into that.
But the rules have to be followed. You're bringing to the fore for me. We have at AARP Foundation a great intergenerational tutoring program called AARP Foundation Experience Corps, and we work in school districts across the nation, really underserved school districts, and older adults in the neighborhood are the literacy tutors for children. So one of the things we're seeing, and we operate in D.C., is that loss of the connection that you're talking about, Harold, that the students who depend upon their older adult tutor and the tutors who have been, you know, worried about their disconnection, they're worried about their learners. And it's also the caregivers.
Yes, caregivers right now as well are having a difficult time because all of the day programs and the other outlets that they might have for some respite is, those are all gone. And so people who are providing care to seniors are experiencing their own trauma with this. And that's actually, I'd like to just encourage anyone who's listening who is a caregiver to go on the DACL website because we're, the mayor is continually challenging us to figure out ways in which we can be responsive to the community. And so we've just launched a caregiver survey for individuals who are caring for adults over 60. And it's really a very short survey. I know everybody says that, but it's true. It's very short. You can complete it in less than, 8 to 10 minutes. And it will help us to understand what caregivers in DC need. So it would be really, really important to us to have as many folks as possible fill that out and from as many, as many different places in the district as we possibly can so that we can understand better how we can support you in the months and years moving forward. So, again, I'm assuming that our website will be...
It will be as well.
I love, Heather, that human-centered design. So often, organizations build solutions in search of a problem as opposed to realizing we do work with people and with communities. That is just so, no surprise to me, very proactive.
Dr. So, you mentioned earlier in the conversation about this program that you're working on in the district to get iPads to seniors. Where is that in the process?
It's, as I said, it's a pilot, and we are in the process of working with OCTO, which is the government's technology office, to make sure that we can load the necessary software on the iPads and get that out to folks. And then we'll be looking at, I think our goal is a pilot group of somewhere between 50 and 100 individuals in the next few months. And then depending on the results of that, we may be able to expand it. But again, it's just one of the ways that we're trying to make sure that folks who are most at risk are connected back into somebody in the community.
And I know you said it's a pilot program, but I would implore you to please keep us apprised of that because, again, in looking at, my parents who, short of texting, obviously, my parents are very connected. Yes. And because I introduced my father to an external hard drive yesterday.
Wonderful.
Yes. And, and that.
No tech issues there, though. Then.
Right.
You got it.
Exactly. Exactly. But, I also realize that so many parents and grandparents and, aunts and uncles and godparents and just, friends who are seniors just don't know. They've not, they retired and they've focused on other things. And so when the technology has come along, they just kind of flag it and say, okay, but now this connection is so very, very important. I've got about a minute or so. I wanted to grab a final word from both of you. Ms. Ryerson, you first.
Yeah, just appreciate calling to attention how serious social isolation is and how it is increasing during the pandemic, and would encourage all listeners to head to connecttoeffect.org. You can learn about how to use voice-first technologies. We have an easy text chatbot you can use, and we're here to support you.
Okay, and Dr. Stowe, real quick.
These are difficult times. We need to be kind to one another. If you go to our website, we can provide additional resources, and there's always somebody willing to talk to you.
Well, I appreciate both of you are coming on, sharing your expertise and your caring, because, as you said, being kind to one another, that really is the foundation of getting through this pandemic. Lisa Marsh Ryerson, Dr. Heather Stowe, thank you so much for talking to us, and please be safe.
Thank you so much.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, August 14th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet me on Twitter at HFisher, W-H-U-R, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.